Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. Today we're going to have a little bit different style of show. I have a guest calling in, not for the whole hour this time, but I think what he has to say is extremely important since we've been hearing about how we're in recovery and everything's awesome and we're just booming and that's why we can have everybody come in into our country and, you know, and succeed economically. I think it's time for a little dose of reality, and so I wanted to have somebody who speaks about this all the time and actually has a show come on and tell us and give us a little bit of a foundation of what our economic system is based on, where he sees it going, so that we can actually start thinking about reality as opposed to what they say is reality. So I'd like to introduce Elijah Johnson. He hosts a show called Finance and Liberty. And I've been a guest on his show before, and I just thought he was really a fresh air, a fresh voice, someone who can give us something, some information, not fear, but just the facts. And I want to thank you, Elijah, for coming on my show today.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about how you got started, because it's an interesting story.
Sure, yeah. Basically, I was homeschooled until I went to college, so homeschooled through high school. And one of the things I did in middle school, which was, I think it was elementary school, I started that report, and my dad helped me a little bit on it. And I tried to figure out how money was created, because, you know, in the past I had been interested in coin collecting, and I had just really been interested in money itself. And I started the report, I tried researching about it, and it just made absolutely no sense. And ironically, at the end of the report, I still didn't know how money was created. But many years later, when I was 16 years old, I think actually 15 or 16, I got interested in coin collecting again and just interested in money. And I researched it again, and I figured out that basically the Federal Reserve, not the government, creates money. And the Federal Reserve is kind of part of the government. It kind of isn't part of the government. But I learned more about the Federal Reserve and how our money really isn't backed by anything, and that the government basically borrows currency into existence from the Federal Reserve. And I really learned more about the history behind the Federal Reserve and how, you know, it was created by bankers on a private island, Jekyll Island, in the early 20th century. And it just was like, wow, I want to spread this information about how the monetary system actually works. So I started my YouTube channel, which is now called financeandliberty.com, really just to get people informed about this. And I realized one of the other things I learned was that, you know, throughout history, currency is not paper. We're so used to, you know, currency just being pieces of paper or, you know, digits on a computer screen, but this really isn't the norm. It's really the exception. I think that's what Ron Paul has talked about. And throughout history, currency has actually been gold and silver. And also what governments often do is they, you know, say, well, okay, you can, you know, use gold and silver as money, but here you can also put money in the bank or whatever and get a claim check on that gold and silver. So that's where paper currency comes from. And throughout history, when that has happened, when, you know, the currency then is just a claim check on the real thing, a thing of real value, the gold and silver, then eventually the government says, actually, no, the currency isn't backed by gold and silver anymore. And you only have the paper left. And this is what has happened throughout history. And when you have a currency that it has no value, no intrinsic value, it falls to its intrinsic value eventually, because the, you know, the temptation of the government just to create money out of thin air and spend money that way instead of, you know, taxing its citizens, that temptation is too great. The government always ends up debasing the currency, printing much more. And when you have more units of currency out there to buy the same amount of goods and services, the currency has to lose value, and eventually it falls to its intrinsic value. And I learned, when I learned this, I was like, well, is that going to happen to the U.S. dollar? And I just wanted to learn more about it and really spread the truth about this, about our monetary system and how basically the currency, in my mind, it seems like it's going to fall eventually to zero. And then I wanted to learn how people can prepare about that. So I really wanted to spread the message.
Well, how can people prepare? I mean, if the currency is basically worthless, you have money in the bank, you have 401ks, you have all this stuff that you're nest egging for the future. If that loses value, you've basically, your future is gone. I mean, you've mortgaged it and it's been sold out from underneath you. What can people do to try to protect themselves?
Right. I mean, it seems like, in my mind, if you only have your finances in currency, I mean, obviously I can't give financial advice mm-hmm. or anything like that, but in my opinion, if you only have your finances in, you know, paper assets, just paper currency, if the economy collapses or we see a currency crisis, you're in big trouble. I mean, if the currency completely collapses, and this isn't something like that hasn't happened before. Like I said, this has happened throughout history with all paper currencies. For example, in Germany, this happened in Weimar, Germany. You saw, you know, people with wagonfuls of money trying, you know, because the money was so worthless that you had to have that much paper currency to buy anything. It's called hyperinflation when this happens, and it always happens. So if people only have their, assets in paper currency, then that's a big risk, in my opinion. And one of the ways that, I would recommend people can prepare is by purchasing, you know, the asset that has historically been considered real money, which is gold and silver. So some people say, well, isn't that kind of risky? Gold and silver are so volatile and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, in my opinion, for the long term, currency is the most risky asset that you can put your assets in right now. And so, yeah, I guess that's just my opinion, is one of the ways to prepare financially is to own gold and silver.
What about the pressure from, I mean, this may be out of your wheelhouse, but you have the Chinese, the Brazilians, they have a separate economic system that they're starting up. I think it's 5 countries. How does that, or is that something that's putting pressure on the dollar as well? Or is it just the fact that we no longer are really backing it in gold, just in itself? Or is it coming from outside as well?
Well, I think most fundamentally, whatever the other countries would be doing, eventually, just if you look at history, all paper currencies collapse. So I think most fundamentally it is because we have a paper currency supply. But if other countries, you know, I mean, right now the dollar is the world reserve currency. You know, I think it's 75% of dollars actually exist outside the United States. If we see a point in which other countries reject the dollar mm-hmm. and say, we don't actually want the dollar anymore, then you could see all those dollars coming back to the United States. And that would also cause, just from that movement of dollars, you know, a lot of inflation also. But I think, to your question, that's maybe a way the hyperinflation could happen, but mm-hmm. most fundamentally, that's not the reason we know it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen because just because of the nature of paper currency, that all paper currencies fail.
Is there any way that we can reverse this? I mean, I've heard Ron Paul talk about putting the dollar back on the gold standard. Would that be something that would be an antidote for this?
I've thought about this, and, you know, I'm not sure I have a good answer to that. I mean, my opinion is that's just not going to happen. I mean, I don't think the government is going to want to go back to a gold standard, because, I mean, like I said before, the temptation to, you know, have a free printing press and be able to print as much money as you want, that temptation is just too great. I mean, I guess I don't know if it would work. I guess I haven't researched a lot about that. But I don't think it's going to happen, because I don't think the government is going to move back to a gold standard unless we have a huge crash. And even then, I think they might want to push some sort of another scam on the people. It seems like that's what the government has, you know, seems to do. It just, you know, once one scam fails, another scam is comes again. So it's just, I just don't see that happening.
Well, I've been hearing rumblings about, you know, the banking system. Well, the negative interest rates are a problem in itself. They're just basically taking money from you even when you save it. But if the currency does get devalued, everybody gets a certain amount of money removed from their bank account. Is that an appropriate way to think about it? That's how I assumed that that was going to happen. Everybody just takes a haircut. Is that something that happens, or it's just the fact that the value just drops and what you had in the bank just isn't worth as much?
Well, right. I mean, it is actually, now that I think about it, it is kind of like negative interest rates. Mm-hmm. You know, with negative interest rates, you put your money in the bank, and then, you know, every year or whatever, you know, the bank, instead of giving you a little bit of money, they take some away. So it is actually kind of like that, because when, basically, when the government creates, or actually it's not the government, it's the Federal Reserve, which is kind of an institution within the U.S. government, but it's actually privately owned by the banks because they're the stockholders. But not to get off on a tangent there, basically when the Federal Reserve creates money and it goes into the system, basically if you can think of, you know, someone creating money and then paying you a good or service, they're the one who gets the purchasing power out of the currency. And then once it's in the system, mm-hmm. basically you have more currency to buy the same amount of goods. So the, you know, if you allocate a certain amount of currency for each good and service, when you have more currency, it's going to cost more for each good and service. So basically it's stealing the value from all the other currency in existence, and the person who gets the purchasing power that's stolen from all the other currency in existence is the person who buys or who uses the new currency, the newly created currency, first.
So that would be the banks.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So if, as an individual, I mean, I'm really kind of sour on banks, to tell you the truth. What about the other aspects of it? I mean, do you have, what do you call them, credit unions, for example? Is that something that people should start to think about, since they're not banks, since there's a way that they don't run on the same system, they're not allowed to do the same fast and loose? Is that something that people should think about?
I mean, just from my perspective, I think, you know, owning gold or silver, you know, if basically physical gold and silver is the best thing that people can invest in right now, because it's something outside of the system. Mm-hmm. You know, if whether it seems like physical gold and silver is what I'd recommend right now, because, you know, some people have talked about owning gold and silver ETFs, which is basically, it's kind of like a stock that trades and tracks the price of gold or silver.
Right.
Or gold and silver mining stocks. But in this situation, it's just like, the purpose of owning precious metals is to reduce risk. Why have this, you know, third party get in the way? And the same thing with like a credit union. My recommendation, again, I can't give financial advice, is mm-hmm. that I just get, you know, at least have a portion of your assets outside the system.
Okay. And physical. So you actually have it in hand, as opposed to somebody storing it for you. You have to, you know, get it at a later date, correct?
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have to store it in hand. I mean, if you have a reputable storage facility, I think that would work as well. But, yeah, as long as you can, you know, get it delivered or something like that, mm-hmm. I think you'll be pretty well off then.
You know, your show, Finance and Liberty, is it a weekly show, or is it, I mean, I know it's on YouTube, and you've got some amazing guests on there. And I recommend that people go to the YouTube site and listen to the guests, because I've listened to a show that really just laid out the future of what our economy, what the global economy, even politically, what he thought was going to happen. And I thought it was a fascinating, you know, hour and a half spent listening to that. Because you don't get it on the mainstream news anymore. I mean, it's just everything's Everything's awesome when you listen to them, but it's time to start taking another look and listen to a different point of view. So is your show, does it run once a week? Does it run daily? How often do you actually create it?
Yeah, it's been about two or three times a week. I have my original interviews, and then I also post best of the web videos, basically videos, some of the best financial videos on the web, from people that I've gotten permission to repost their videos. And to your point about the mainstream media, one of the things that I try to differentiate my show from, not only the content, but really to give people, you know, time to explain the concepts that, you know, that I'm asking about. It seems like on the mainstream media, it's just like, you have 30 seconds here, 30 second soundbite or whatever. And it's just, no, that's not enough time to explain anything.
I agree. And the fact that you have listeners that can ask questions of the experts and get a response, like a thoughtful response, I thought that was really awesome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's one of the things I've been doing more recently. I had done it in the past, but, you know, it's really great to get the viewers engaged.
Well, how can they reach you, my listeners, if they want to listen to your show or maybe contact you if they want to? How would they go about doing that?
Yeah, the YouTube channel is Finance and Liberty, so youtube.com/financeandliberty. And then if they want to contact me personally, it's financeandliberty@gmail.com. And I'm also going to be getting a membership website up, which is financeandliberty.com. That'll probably be in a couple weeks.
Well, I wish you luck with everything, and I look forward to learning more, going on your channel, learning more, and hopefully I'll be back on as a guest at some point.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you, Elijah. Have a great day.
You too.
And let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I wanted to give you guys a different, you know, a little change of pace on what we have on the show, because healthcare is 1/6 of the economy. And it is being completely annexed by the federal government in taxes, compliance, all sorts of stuff. But I personally think this is a house of cards. And we are just teetering on the edge of God knows what. All the bad news seems like it's being held until after the election. I just had an interview before I came on the show, and the interviewer was waiting for the HHS numbers for the insurance plan premiums to come out, and I told her, and I meant this. I don't think this is going to come out until after the elections. I think they're going to hold the bad news for as long as possible to sucker people into voting ignorantly. I mean, anybody who's, God forbid you're sick, I think you've pretty much figured out by this point your insurance card is doing nothing for you. Really. I mean, honestly. And I don't mean not just the fact that it's expensive. But the healthcare system doesn't save people anymore. The stories, I mean, it just makes you want to cry, the stories you hear out there now. Someone goes to the ER, they don't get treated anymore, they get a referral for an outpatient visit. You can have all sorts of stuff going with you, stroke, transient ischemic attack, you know, I guess unless you're having a heart attack and you're imminently in, you know, in distress. They're not going to treat you anymore, but you better believe they're going to charge you for the visit that you got from the, I don't know, if you're lucky to get a doctor, I bet you they are probably contract labor, like locum tenens. So they have a group that travels around and just provides services. Or you got a PA or you got a nurse practitioner who understand the basics of introductory medicine, but can't do anything past, you know, something that's simple. And when that happens, you end up spending more, you end up getting delayed treatment. And I'm talking to a person who has a family member who has a mass on her arm, and it's been a year, and she hasn't been worked up. Nothing has gone on. I mean, they're trying to make a diagnosis based on a scan, but there's no biopsy. And we're talking about maybe a process going forward that may need amputation because of delay of diagnosis. And it's pass the ball, like passing a football. No, it's not my job. It's out of my scope of practice. All sorts of stuff that's gone on. And I, God forbid, something's really awful. I believe that the first thing they're going to put this person on is going to be a hospice because it's too far advanced. It's, we can't treat it. It's not treatable. That's what our healthcare system has become. I've only heard this story about 3 or 4 times personally. People I know has had this happen to family members. So imagine what the average Joe is doing, who doesn't have a doctor that they can bounce things off of, who believe that, okay, I'll just take a medication and I'll just do what my doctor tells me. Please, people, stop taking what you're told as gospel. I don't care what it is. If it's the media telling you a poll is such and such, or if someone's a racist because they say the person is. I've never seen such desperation in our media at this point. Desperation to be relevant. And the people who should, you should go, what the hell is, I'm not going to listen to Cher or Justin Timberlake or Tyler Perry or you name who the, are you joking? Are you really going to base your family's life, your economic solvency on people who are completely removed from reality? Really? And they're going to tell you who to vote for? Then you should be ashamed of yourself, honestly. You should be ashamed to be an adult. Forget about being an American. Some loser who's making millions of dollars in fantasy world, who lives in a, if you only knew what goes on in Hollywood, that's the last person you should be listening to you telling you that someone is racist, sexist. And this is another thing. I'm just, sorry, I have to rant for a bit, but I'm just done with the Hollywood crowd telling people how racist and sexist they are. That is the most racist, sexist, you know, ageist system out there. Unless you fit the mold, you're not getting the job. You're not getting the lead in a role. I mean, it's all theater. They're getting paid to say it. They're not, I don't even, do they even vote? I wonder. But it's all about, it's not even leverage. It's just people partying together and having the feeling that they're important. They're not. And if you don't read your, and do your own due diligence, then you get what you deserve. But I hope you don't take out down the rest of us with you. It's time to grow up and stop thinking name calling or what someone says. And they're outright lying now in the media. I mean, they've just put out fake stories and then have to pull it back after the fact. Or they don't even pull it back anymore. Because I believe there's some law that says that they can lie now. I think there was something that was passed and they can't be sued for it. I can't remember what it's, it happened in the last couple years where the media can say whatever they like, just like the police can, and you can't call them on it. And I don't know if it was passed during that, a corporation is a person. I forget what that bill was or what that law was or what the Supreme Court sanctioned, but it's an outgrowth of that. Whatever you say becomes reality, and if it's the truth or not, so what? They really are, they're in that position now. They're just making stuff up. And the examples just fall apart within days. Like the next day, it's refuted. And they still don't apologize for it. I can't even watch the news anymore. Unless it's to see examples, because I know what the truth is. Let me see how far off they're going to be about what they say. And it's economics, it's the healthcare system, it's the insurance market. To me, the next big thing is that the insurance companies are going bankrupt because they're in Obamacare. Right. You know, once you look at their bottom line on Wall Street, are they losing money or are they not losing money? Because that's really what you should be looking at, not the profits that they say they're losing. They're basically not making as much money as they thought they were going to make. And so they're pissed. And those that haven't already consolidated are playing chicken to consolidate, like Aetna and Humana. I'm convinced they wanted to join together. They were told no. All of a sudden, both of them are jumping out of the exchange market. You know, they just can't make as much money. They're making money hand over fist, because I can tell you on the flip side, they're not paying doctors. They're paying a Medicaid rate. They're paying hospitals Medicaid rate when they pay. And that means they're collecting premiums hand over fist and not paying out. I don't feel sorry for them at all. And even if they are losing money, all the money they made over the X number of years, trust and believe, they're not going to go out of business anytime soon. I mean, I don't know about you, Dave. Are you watching news, or are you just fed up with it?
I watch it. The politics, I've gotten to the point I've had it. You know, like you said, it's, you can't watch any of it. They're all one-sided, one way or the other, and mostly one way. I watch the news only to find if there is news, like the earthquakes today, that I found interesting.
Was it earthquakes today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Yeah, two.
Oh, where?
One in Italy and one in Burma.
Oh, no, I didn't hear that. No. I've listened to the news coming into work, so.
6.8 and 6.2.
Wow, I pray for them.
Yeah, and Italy was the town 100 miles north of Rome. Mm. Was basically just ain't no more.
Wow.
Yeah. The hospital was destroyed. Everything was destroyed. But anyway, to answer your question, yes. I watch the news for the news. I don't watch the news for opinions. And that's all you're getting most of the time is somebody, you know, it's like I've never told you that I was an expert on anything, nor will I ever because I'm not. But everybody else in the world is an expert on the sun coming up. You know,
it's not opinion, Dave. It's propaganda. These are all paid hacks. You know, either they've been employed by one of such and such, one party. They've been an advisor or a consultant. And now all of a sudden they're coming in with their opinion as if it means something. But there's always a spin. I don't care if you're on the Republican or Democrat side. It doesn't matter. It's the same principle. Everybody's got, so if you look back far enough, there's a dog in the hunt. Stephanopoulos, perfect example. How does he have the ability to say that he is impartial when he used to be within the administration?
Oh, yeah.
Or Morning Joe. What was he, a congressman at one point? Or Mika Brzezinski, her dad. Who? Come on, man. Why would I want to listen to any of these people?
Did you? Oh, we need to take a break. But
okay.
We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I wish you guys could hear what goes on in the break, but I just want to break down some of the, it's just so outrageous that people are saying stuff with a straight face. Now, we were talking in the break about the release of the taxes and how the Clintons released a tax return and 10% was charitable contribution. Okay, you would think, oh, it's Red Cross, it's, you know, something, you know, ASPCA, whatever. It is the Clinton Foundation that they released the money to. That's them. That means they just got a tax-free on a supposed contribution. Come on. I mean, it's just so in your face. It is so devastatingly just, if not illegal, I think, definitely unethical. And it's just like, well, just say it and we'll just do it and we'll just be so big about it, nobody will say anything. And all the apologists talking about how awesome everything is. I mean, it's an entertainment empire. I have an issue with you know, anchors being represented by entertainment like CAA. That's a problem. If you're in an entertainment, if you're being managed by the huge entertainment conglomerate, then how does that make you a journalist? You're supposed to be free, clear, unencumbered. You have to toe a line. You sign a contract, right? You have to be part of their stable. They're making you more popular. That doesn't mean you're telling the truth. That means you're playing a role. And the role is left and right, paradigm. You fit the blue team or the red team. And they're both the same. It's a uniparty. I love that term. I think it's a uniparty. And for whether for good or for bad, Trump, to some degree, Bernie Sanders represented, or for Bernie Sanders represented, but for Trump represents the outsiders, the people.
But what do you think of Bernie Sanders' third home at $600,000?
Listen, I think he was, the worst, the best case scenario is that he was real and that he got shoehorned out, maybe coerced, maybe. That's the best case scenario. The other, he was fake opposition. Because if he really wanted to win, he would have stuck in there. And I think he would have been able to actually do what Trump did. They both had the same problem. The Republicans were more subtle about it. It was rigged so that the insiders and the power brokers would have a leg up. The Democrats just did it in your face with the superdelegates. But the way the Republicans had their primary set up, how it was weighted in terms of who got votes and whether it was proportional or all together, and at some point deciding it doesn't matter in Colorado, that was just outrageous. It doesn't matter what the people vote. We're going to tell you how it's going to be. And they were embarrassed enough that they stopped that. They tried the same thing, but the difference between Trump and Sanders was someone was going to take him on versus somebody who really wasn't. And I think he did his followers a disservice because he stood for something that was anti what the establishment is. Big banks, cronyism, pay to play. And he endorsed that. To me, if I were a Bernie Sanders follower, I would be up in arms because he basically just slapped them. You know, my safety or my legacy is more important than the bigger picture. I have to respect Trump for standing up there and taking a lot of hits and a lot of, I think there's threats daily against the guy, and he's still standing. I'm not even talking about the Republican stuff. People in the media saying he should be shivved and someone should go after him. I mean, they're literally dog whistling for people to try to take him out. Nothing happens to them. So it's a complete double standard. You know, get off your winning team mentality and just think about this in terms of fairness. At some point, your team won't be in. If you're a Democrat, at some point, Democrats aren't going to be in. So by rigging the game like you're trying to do, shutting down opposition, shutting down discourse, you're going to be on the receiving end of that at one point, and you're not going to like it. I mean, October 1st is actually D-Day. You know they're going to shut down or sell out the internet. You've heard about that, right?
Oh.
The president signed an executive order that will turn over control of the internet to international players, China, Russia, whoever, you know, the UN. That will effectively, if they decide to do so, shut down, quote-unquote, hate speech. That means opposition. That means the Fourth Estate is gone, and you only have one mouthpiece, anybody who's talking about how awesome everything is. That means America's Web Radio. That means any alternative media potentially will be muzzled, you know, muted, or your website traffic will drop, or they'll make it harder for people to access your website. They're already doing it on Twitter. They're already doing it on Google. If you want to do searches, they don't show up. they miraculously disappear. Tweets that you made, if they do it to Trump all the time.
But you do realize we've been shut down.
There you go.
On federal computers.
I totally believe that. So this is just the beginning. So on October 1st, if they're allowed to push this through, now supposedly the Congress is saying we're not going to support this, we're not going to fund it, so it should not happen. But if he gets his way, it will happen. And if we can look at UK, London, for example, they're talking about trolling the internet and arresting people for hate speech, for what they write on comments. That's ridiculous. Then you just shut down free speech. But you can talk about killing Christians and Sharia, whatever, all day. Nothing happens to you. So it's really, it's this, and it's been a concerted effort to demonize Christians or anybody who has Jews, whoever, who's not for Sharia law. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. This is a global system. And if you really go out to a 1,000 feet and look at this, the UN is the driver of this. They're deciding what is gender appropriate, what the laws and what the trade laws should be. That's what TPP is. It's a UN-driven, created system, gun control. That whole meme is a UN-driven system. Gender equality. All these issues that are coming out are not from us. It's being foisted on us. But we have globalist leaning people who are running our country, are running our government on a local and national level. We have to tell the truth about this. It's not about race. They try to do that so people are all caught up on stupid things. But the bigger picture is sovereignty versus not sovereignty. I think Trump's got it right. Nationalism versus globalism. Globalism means freedom of speech is gone. They're going to come for your guns. They're going to force you to have a vaccine or whatever medical, debacle they want to try to create that you have to do. Your economics, your money will no longer be yours. If they decide that globally, hey, we need to go on one currency, everybody takes a haircut, you know, meaning whatever money you have in the bank, and they're tracking that ad nauseum, we're just going to take it out. It's all digital anyway. So everybody's going to lose to like Cyprus. They lost 10% of their money in their bank. You need to start paying attention to what's going on outside of the United States, because it's happening and it's in your face, but it's just them. It's not really important. Oh, well, it's you next. I just came back from the Caribbean, and everything that we're discussing is much, they're so much further ahead in their movement towards control there than we are. It's amazing. From the doctors to the climate. I mean, I went shopping. You can't have a shopping bag anymore. There's no plastic. You have to bring your own shopping bag. And that's throughout the whole country. It just overnight. You got maybe a week or two warning. They gave you a couple of free bags. Now there aren't any. You know how, I mean, inconvenient that is on an island when you don't have shopping carts and you have to shop for something large. You're done. So all of that control is coming here. They're trying to make it trendy, make it hip, make it call you a name if you have a question about it. But it's all about inconveniencing you and controlling your movement, how much money you have, what you're allowed to say. And if they get their way and they're able to, you know, put implants in people, they can figure out what you're thinking, because that's also been talked about. Your thoughts are going to be controlled. This sounds a lot like Brave New World, 1984. I really wish people would go back and read those books, because it's true. Those guys were telling us what the future was planned for us. It sounds sci-fi, it sounds out there, but it's really not. You're silent.
Huh? You know, you're talking about the chip. I've said this, you've heard me say it before. And I won't be around, but when Obama has his autopsy, they're going to find a chip in him. I totally believe that. I think he's a robot for whoever and whatever, and that he's prompted by something.
You know, I would take it a different approach to it. It's how you were raised and what your ethics and morals are. These are people who subscribe to Saul Alinsky, right? To socialism, social Darwinism.
As long as they're on top, it's great.
Well, yeah, but this is their chance to make it so, to create an environment that you cannot go back and fix it. So you're educating children through Common Core that they don't have any critical thinking skills. They've been taught that we're bad, our country's bad, the founding fathers are bad, everything is race-based, and everybody's a victim, and white people did it. That's what people are taught. I mean, look at the colleges. They're having segregation is back. You know, you have classes that are just for black people. Dorms are just for black people. Tables that are just for black people. Now they want to have something, a black Woodstock here in Atlanta, some nonsense. And the sad part is that the white students are believing it too. So I'm bad because I'm a white male. I need to apologize. And are you kidding me? It's like mind control. It's like a Pavlov response. You say a word, you say racist, everybody's supposed to just bow down and bend and just fall over. It's retarded. But it all comes down to breaking the individual so that you're no longer an individual that's bad. You have to be part of a group, part of a team, part of a mind think. And that's exactly what goes on in school. You know, remember that everybody gets a trophy, that mentality? Right. I wondered how that was going to play out. Now I'm seeing how it's playing out. I see it in medicine. It's a medical team. The doctor no longer leads the team. Everybody's just part of a whole, a medical home, crap. It's we are individuals. We are not equal because we're not the same. I think people need to get that in their mind. No one's better than anybody else. Everybody's just different. You have a skill that I don't. I have one that someone else doesn't. And together we make a better whole. But for everybody to think the same, be the same, have the same result on a test, perform the same in a sports manner, it's silly and it's boring and it's not sustainable. But what it does allow you to do is be controlled by somebody who does have more power, who takes your power from you and intellectually makes you think that you're less than. But at the same time, make you think that I'm special. I don't even know how that works. I have to have a psychiatrist on the show to explain this to me because it doesn't make any sense. And on that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, it's one of the times, we're living in interesting times. When people say this a lot, I actually believe it. There are choices that we need to start making and make for ourselves, not because we're told to make them, and make them with intention. I think every living creature desires to be independent and free. Freedom of movement, freedom of thought, freedom of association, etc. That's being taken away from us in so many ways while we have people telling us how, you know, what we should do, how we should think, how we should vote. Unless we make, this is a stand I think we need to make now. If this election goes down, it's going to be a completely different United States. I mean, Hillary Clinton's already talked about shutting down websites like, she'll make it her mission. Shut down Breitbart, shut down alternative, you know, conservative websites. Every voice needs to be heard. I don't care if it's something on the far left or something on the far right. Everybody has a right to speak and to get rid of the opposition summarily. I mean, what is it? Public Broadcasting Service, I think on their website, they're getting rid of comments. You've noticed it on the news stage, on the news websites. You're not allowed to put a comment in anymore. I think Huffington Post, I'm not sure if they got rid of theirs yet or not, but it's a definitely concerted effort to shut down conversation opposition. They do it on Twitter. They do it on Facebook. If you have any kind of real thought about something, you get shut down as hate speech, just summarily. But they can let ISIS websites just flourish. All these people who have these manifestos, who've done these crimes, they all have websites or Twitter accounts or Facebook and this and that. Why aren't those guys shut down? Either make it universal or don't do it. But it's always a one-sided thing. We need to just take a step back from, just look at things critically. If you shut down someone's ability to speak, it doesn't mean you change their mindset. It just makes it go away. Just like the polls. If you keep saying someone's so low in the polls, it's not because it's true. It's because you're trying to get into the mind of the people who are for that person and have them think, it's not worth it. Why try? My person's going to lose. It's a mind control, neurolinguistic system that we're living in. A lot of cognitive dissonance. So your mind and reality are at war with each other because you're looking at things that make no sense, but they're telling you, this is what you should think, this is what you should think, but your eyes are telling you, this doesn't make any sense. How can somebody take money from Saudi Arabia, who throw gay people off of buildings, who participate in slavery, get millions of dollars from that person and have them go to black community or to the gay community and tell them, I love you? How can you possibly want to support someone like that and then listen to them say, well, the other person's racist? There's no proof. You know, I've done some research on Donald Trump. He actually integrated one of his golf course. He bought it. He integrated it. The Clintons belong to all sorts of things that are not inclusive. One of her mentors was Robert Byrd, who was a grandmaster of the Ku Klux Klan. She said that, what's that name of that woman? The one who, for Planned Parenthood, I forgot her name now. Who started Planned Parenthood?
Who's that? Ann Richards' daughter is the head of it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the person who started it, it's a eugenics program to abort black people. So, you know, that's one of her idols. Oh, my gosh, I can't remember her name. But this is not what they say. This is what they've done. And then they're saying Donald Trump hates gay people, hates black people, hates... But there's no proof of that. It's them saying it. But she's associated with, she has said, this is my idol. I don't understand that.
You know which political party the Ku Klux Klan...
Democrat.
Yep.
And again, it's one of this cognitive dissonance things. And it's all on Johnson, who changed the grand bargain to help black people and poor people, you know, get rid of poverty. It's always the opposite, people, of what they say. Affordable Care Act, unaffordable. You know, grand plan to eradicate poverty. The Great Society, whatever.
Great Society.
Well, he also says that he'd have the N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. Look at his rhetoric. And he's right. In the last 40 years, black people have changed. They used to be Republican. Martin Luther King was Republican.
What about the fact that in the DNC, at their last convention, the notes that came out...
Oh, my gosh.
Calling the Mexicans tacos?
They can't stand... This is... The Dixiecrats are what's taken over the Democratic Party. Those are the same people who wanted segregation. They changed their rhetoric. They put a couple of black people in front of it who they're paying, and they've managed to change the dialogue or the conversation. But underneath it, all of the things that they stood for are working. Euthanasia amongst minorities, black people in particular. The education system is substandard. They are systematically keeping people from going into charter schools. They've shut that down. That's an argument about, in Louisiana, for example, they wanted kids to, they were allowed to do it, and the government shut them down. Why? Because it's all about cronyism. You want people in the public education system buying the textbooks for Common Core, having the teacher unions, or I guess at the National Education Association, which is another bureaucracy set up, doesn't have a point except to create things to make itself important. And it's all about centralization and control and indoctrination. What's the best way to help someone be a slave? You make them love their slavery and make them think, or by projection, that the other person's doing what you're doing. It's brilliant. This is like a psych 101, abnormal psych 101, playing out in our country right now. Democrats do not stand for minorities, and I think Donald Trump's got it totally right. It's all about the vote. Put some hot sauce in your pocketbook. you know, use a few colloquialisms and that's supposed to make you play a saxophone, for God's sake, and that makes you black. How many black people did Clinton put in jail? How many families were disrupted in the 80s because of the one strike law? That put a lot of people in jail, a million plus. And we're still reaping what they sowed. Now those guys are going to be released in this new game plan. Gee, I wonder what they're going to vote for. You know, I don't really have a problem giving someone a second chance, but this is like summarily releasing people. And I think it's for a reason. You want to gin up the support for the election. You want people to vote. You're going to bust them in to vote. You're going to allow them to vote multiple times and call it racist because someone has a question mark. If you have to have an ID to buy liquor or get on a plane, then that's racist too, right?
That's the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard, and that it's racist to have an ID to vote.
It's not racist, Dave.
You can't go any place without having to show an ID.
Well, it's if you think about why, then you get it. Because all those swing states that have a larger minority population, or an illegal population, let's be frank, who can get in there. I mean, I've been identity thefted about four or five times. Someone, you know, submitted a tax return using my Social Security number. So I know I've been a victim. I'm one of hundreds of thousands in the country. Those people can, you know, they're doing things in our name. You know they're voting. Somebody actually went to a voting booth and said that, hey, you already voted. This is in California. No, North Carolina. And then his mother voted too, but she'd already been dead. So don't tell me that that there's no games being played in this situation. And I think we as Americans and people who love the country need to start standing up and taking our country back. And it's not racist to say that. This is really coming down to paying attention and not being told that you should just do it this way. It's on you at this point. Our show is going to make sure that you are given the tools to start thinking outside the box. Hopefully it'll make you want to think outside the box. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a couple of folks come on to talk about options for patients who really want to get out of the insurance pool and have a direct relationship with their doctor. And I'm going to have somebody who's an expert in finance talk about this financial implosion in detail. And if you guys have any questions about the financial problem, you should submit them to America's Web Radio, and I'll be happy to ask him when we're on air. But have a great week, and thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.